Howdy, it's Tim Freund with Dilbeck Estates and Christie's International Real Estate. I thought I'd start off with a little music today just for fun. Thanks for joining my podcast. Really appreciate you guys tuning in. You know, one of the things that I get asked a lot about is costs. What does it cost to do things, you know, when you're buying a home? And this becomes really important when we're dealing with the request for repair. Because as we discussed in a previous podcast, one of the steps in the process is you do a physical inspection, and then things come up on that physical inspection. And those things could be nothing, innocuous, GFCI or whatever, or it could be something a little more intimidating or downright scary. So I thought what I would do today is just kind of address some of those typical things that come up and give you some sort of a pencil sketch idea about what things would cost. I mean, for example, you know, what does it cost to put in a hot water heater? Well, I'm so glad that you asked that question. So oftentimes, you know, a hot water heater will fail. And to replace a hot water heater, depending on the size of the hot water heater, it can range anywhere from, you know, $1,500 to $2,500. I mean, if it's a 100-gallon water heater, it's going to be more. And, you know, you almost get to the cost of doing a tankless, you know, upgrading to a tankless system. And depending on your home, that could be a great solution. So sometimes when you, if the water heater is failed or is bad and it comes up on inspection, then, you know, you might ask for the seller to replace that item. Or you might ask for a credit in lieu of repair to have that done later by you. And you could have that done, you know, say, like I said earlier, maybe put in a tankless. So this is part of the process. You're figuring out what you want the seller to fix if there's something. And basically, when you make a request for repair, there's a couple of scenarios. The seller says, sure, Tim, I'll go ahead and put in a new hot water heater. It's not unreasonable that your hot water heater should be working when you buy my home. Or they say, go pound sand. I'm not going to do a thing. And then you have a decision to make. You can either move forward, buy the house because you love it, and you know, you're talking about $1,500 or $2,500 to put in a new hot water heater, or you negotiate maybe somewhere in the middle. How about you pay half, I pay half, or you just quit and you walk away from the transaction and you get your money back and move on to the next property. You know, there's no guarantee. Every home in California is sold as is, so therefore it's very possible that in fact you walk away because the seller won't make the repair. They don't want to sell the home badly enough or not at that price, you know. So that's one of the things that can come up. Another thing that can come up is something wrong with the sewer. So one of the inspections that a lot of people are doing in California now is a sewer line inspection. This is where a plumbing company will run a camera down the sewer line. They put the camera inside the sewer cleanup, and they run it out to the street and can tell you if the sewer line's in good shape. The reason it's become really significant in California today is because of the terrible droughts we've had. Because as the water source dried up, trees began searching wherever they could to find water in a sewer line where it's being flushed all the time, right? Showers, etc. So the trees would find a way to infiltrate the sewer line. Now, the way you think about this is, you know, there's different materials with the sewer line, right? You could have ABS plastic, which is the black plastic. This is the newer system. You could have cast iron. You could have clay. All of these are different materials. They're all perfectly fine. However, the thing about things like clay is that you're going to have, with clay, it's old, and their compression, the joints are compression. This is true actually with all three materials, but the joints are compressed together. So if you imagine when you were a kid and you wanted to make a really long straw for your Slurpee, you know, you'd pinch the bottom of one end of the straw and you'd stuff it into the other, and you'd do that over and over again until you got a really long line. Well, that's basically what a sewer line is like, right? They're just compression held together. So that joint isn't sealed. It's just compression. So a root from a tree could make its way into there. Now, I know you're thinking, wait a minute, a tree root is like this monster thing, right? So how's it getting into a pipe without breaking it? Well, you're thinking about the wrong way when you're talking about this, the roots, because when you talk about the fragments of the ends of the roots, they're really like sea anemone. Sea anemone. Yeah. They're like hairs almost. And so they'll get in there and they'll be like a brush that just sort of grows inside there. And eventually it makes that that sewer line fill up with roots and get smaller and smaller. You know, and cast iron is another issue similarly, where cast iron could have roots that get into a cast iron pipe, or cast iron will rust, and cast iron will get calcium and sediment deposits, and as over time, and it rusts. And so what happens is that the opening becomes narrower and narrower until less and less material is able to flow through there clearly, and that's when you get backups. So a sewer line is a really important inspection, and the request for repair will reflect the condition of that sewer line. I mean, if you're in a place like Ventura, California, the city requires that on a real estate transaction that the sewer lateral, it's called the lateral line from the home to the sewer main in the street, has to be replaced. Well, who pays for that, right? No, typically it's the seller. Now, maybe it was done in a previous transaction, so it doesn't need to be done now, but this is how the city of Ventura is addressing their aging infrastructure system. They require that if it hasn't been done, that it a new clean out and a new lateral be put in. This can run $9,000-$10,000. In fact, it can go even higher depending on the length of the run, because it's got to go all the way to the city, and it could be a 4-inch pipe, or it could be a section of 4-inch pipe, and then it converts into a bigger pipe, into a 6-inch, and that's what connects to the city main. So you can end up with a really sizable bill that you're negotiating for when you're dealing with the sewer. So it could be easy $9,000-$10,000. Another common thing that comes up, we'll do an inspection on the roof. And, you know, you think about a roof, most people don't think about their roof, actually. You know, they, unless it leaks, they don't think about it. The reality is that a roof should be serviced every 5 to 7 years. What a service is where, any slip tiles are pushed back into place, any broken tiles are mended or replaced, and then where the flashings, that's the sheet metal that kind of covers the opening. So like where there's a chimney coming through the roof, you have a metal 90-degree flashing, for example. And then if it's a vent pipe, you don't have a closed line system, right? So a vent pipe for the sewer or for a faucet, you have to allow, the flow of air. Otherwise, you have to have air. Otherwise, it's like sucking on a bottle of soda. Eventually, the bottle collapses in on itself. So you have to have the ability for that air to flow. And so these things are coming through your roof. And they're sealed. They're sealed with an industrial adhesive called mastic. Mastic is like a rubberized tar. Well, like anything, if it sits out in the sun long enough, it's going to dry and it's going to crack. And when it cracks, that's where water can make its way in and get underneath the tiles. So a service is going to take care of that. A service is going to put back displaced tiles and cracked tiles. And you think, wait a minute, displaced tiles? What's that? Now, these tiles are probably going to last forever. Mostly the newer stuff in the last 30, 40 years is concrete tile. So concrete tile is going to last forever. It's got a coating on the top. I mean, it's, unless somebody walks on it, they're not even going to break it. But they do slip out of place. I mean, you would think that every tile is nailed to the roof, the sheathing, right, which is like the plywood. Well, it's not so. Guys cut corners, they'll nail the top row, and then they'll just jam the next row under, and they'll nail the next row, and then they'll jam the next row under. And so what happens is during earth movement, earthquake, whatever, soil expansion, things shift and expand and contract a little bit, and the roof tile comes loose, and it exposes the paper, the tar paper underneath. It's also referred to as the felt. So when you're dealing with a roof, you do an inspection and they go, oh, well, you've got some slip tiles and you got some paper that's exposed, and that paper's been compromised through UV rays and it's cracked, and it's where water's going to come in. So now you have a roof leak, right? So what do you have to do to repair a roof like that? Well, typically with a concrete tile roof, what they'll do is they'll pull off one half of the roof and stack it on the other side, and then they'll repaper, and then they'll split that tile back, and then they'll pull the other half off and stack it over on the other side, and then they'll replace the paper, and they'll put the tile back down. So it's not like you're buying all that material, but it's still going to run you $12,000-$15,000, depending on the size of the roof, $20,000. I mean, it depends on how big the house is, obviously, right? And what about, asphalt or composition roofs? So when you have an asphalt roof, or composition roof, you know, those were basically designed, they're lightweight, because a lot of the replacements when you had wood shake, you know, you couldn't put concrete tile. The house isn't engineered for that. And you'll see this where houses are just sagging sometimes. So the roof line is just sagging. But so let's say they put in a comp roof. Well, actually, you can put a comp roof in three times in California. You can go over the existing twice, depending on the thickness and the installation. So an asphalt roof might run $12,000-$15,000 if you have to redo it. So these are just costs that you could potentially run into when you're doing your request for repair. And you're going to ask the seller to fix those things, or at least to contribute a credit. Now, if the roof has to be refelted, the whole thing has to be redone, and it's $15,000. That credit, you don't just get to pocket that money. I mean, that money goes toward closing costs, for example. I mean, the lender's not going to let you get some $20,000 credit. Right, because they're going to think that's their money. Wait a minute, I just lent you, $700,000 for this property, and you're getting $20,000 back. Wait a minute, no. Either I want those repairs fixed, or let's just discount the house $20,000 because I'm not lending on that, and that doesn't help you because you want the cash to do the repair. So if the repair cost is too high, you're asking the seller to foot the bill, and if it's something the seller's not going to do, boom, impasse, and then you have a problem. Something else that you might run into, let's say, might be a fireplace. So, and I'm not going to say that fireplace and masons and chimney guys are not honest and straightforward. You know, there's a lot of good guys out there. The reality is that when you go in and you have an inspection done on your chimney, there's going to be things, particularly in an older house where you have a masonry chimney, and there may be mortar that's out of place and it has to be repacked. You could have some cracks in the brick just from the natural movement of the soil. There's precast fireplaces, tilt-ups that were used in the 60s and 70s. And these, two-story tilt-up concrete fireplace and chimney packs were installed. And they'll get cracks because what? Concrete cracks, right? Everybody knows that. So a chimney guy is going to go, oh, that has to come down. And that tends to be the mantra for most chimney guys. They want to tear down your chimney. And to replace the chimney, you're talking like $20,000, big money. Now, there's other places and other masons that will offer you alternative methods, but it's a little hard to find. So you definitely want to do your homework if you're having a chimney inspection. Who's going to do it? Do they only replace chimneys, or do they repair them? And do they coat them? Do they put in a sheet metal tube like a precast or a prefabricated fireplace would use, so the flue is made of metal. So there's different ways to repair it without having to tear it down, but you definitely want to do your homework on that and get a second opinion, because they'll tell you got to take the damn thing down, and that's not cool. But it does happen, and sometimes that's exactly what has to happen. The whole thing has to come down. More often than not, though, it's not really true. But how much does that cost? Like I said, if you have to tear down a whole chimney, it could be $20,000. If you have to do a repair, it might be $3,000 or $5,000. So, it's not an inexpensive fix. But it does come up. You think about things like your swimming pool. I have a listing right now where the plaster is flaking, and a kid would, if they stepped on it or slid their foot on it, could actually cut their foot. It's, it's like sandpaper. They'll get, boo-boos on the bottom of their foot. And, is that something the seller is going to fix? No, probably not. They might give you a credit, depending on the market and how strong your position is. If it's multiple offers and you're just happy to get the house, they're not fixing it. How much does it cost to replaster a pool? Well, the short answer is probably $6,500 to $7,500, including the tile, because it's not just the plaster. First, they have to jackhammer everything out, right, to get down to the gunite, which is like the concrete underneath the plaster. But then they have to change the drains, because when you're dealing with an old pool, you have like a flat drain with a bunch of diamonds or triangles on the top, and that's where the water sucked into the system, and it goes into the filter, and it's filtered, and then it's pushed out into, say, to the spa, and then it spills over the little waterfall in the spa, and that cycle just repeats, so that your entire pool water is basically replaced and filtered once a day. The problem is that codes changed, and the reasons codes changed was safety. So those old drains, they don't do those anymore. Now, if you sort of picture like a mushroom where it's smooth on top and then there's like a little stem, and around the bottom of the stem under the mushroom cap, there's these little holes, and the water's sucked in through those little holes. And the reason for that was that, typically little girls with long hair could get sucked into that drain when the holes were on top and trapped. And of course, you know, tragedy ensues. So they did two things. One, they changed the cap. It's called an anti-siphon cap. And they also said you have to have two. Well, now your pool guy is not only plastering, but he's now drilling and putting in a new drain and splitting them. And that splits the suction in half, so that even reduces the likelihood of a kid getting their hair sucked into the system by dramatically, right? I mean, it's a lot because it's half the suction power. So having a pool replastered, you know, $6,500, $7,500, and you're going to want to put in some pretty tile, right? You're not going to want the old 70s brown and orange tile, right? So you probably want something different. So those are costs that you might run into. One of the things that comes up a lot is it's really old, Tim. It's an old system. The furnace is old. The air conditioner is old, but it works. When you have a but it works, it's a little difficult to get the seller to replace it. Now, if the seller knows the system is ancient, they might be prepared to contribute to an eventual replacement, maybe again a credit of some kind, but you're not likely to get a seller to replace a system or agree to replace a system unless it's a buyer's market and you can dictate those terms. But what's it cost to replace an HVAC? What if the air conditioning isn't working? Well, in 2020, beginning of 2020, Freon, which is the main component, the refrigerant, which is terrible for the environment and the ozone, has been outlawed. You can't get it anymore. It's not being manufactured. Whatever supply exists in the world, that's what there is. And when that supply is exhausted, and it's essentially exhausted, you're out of luck. You can't recharge your system if the air conditioner isn't working. And so you have to replace it. But when you replace it, a couple things kick in. First of all, there's compatibility issues with new systems and old systems. And the furnace, the FAU, the forced air furnace, or forced air unit, is not going to work with a new AC typically. So you're replacing both. Well, what about the ducts? I'm not talking about asbestos ducts. Obviously, that's a possibility too. But just the regular ducts, you have to do a pressure test. It's called a SEER. SEER. It's a method of rating the energy efficiency of the system. And one of the rules is you have to test to make sure your ducts aren't leaking, because that would be inefficient, right? Bad for the environment, bad for your energy consumption. So you may have to replace the furnace, the ducts, and the air conditioner. In fact, you're going to replace all three if you're replacing the system. You're really not going to replace any one component. So how much is that? Well, an HVAC, by the way, HVAC stands for heating, ventilation, and air conditioning, HVAC. So the HVAC system, which is your complete system, can run you pretty much starting for basic around $12,000, and they can easily go up to $22,000-$23,000. And that's for one system. If you have an air conditioning dual zone system, then you might have upstairs, downstairs, or east and west sides of a single story or something, and you're replacing two systems. So it can be a very big ticket item, which can come up on the inspection. So anticipate an HVAC is going to run you somewhere in the, you know, $15,000 range, maybe more. So that's a pretty big ticket item that maybe the seller helps with, maybe they do not. Garage doors, right? So how much does it cost to replace a garage door spring? You go look at the garage door, the one doesn't open because it's got a bad spring. Well, you can't just buy, if it's a roll-up, you can't just buy one spring. You got to buy both. That's about $1,600. You may not realize it, but a steel garage door, even the lightweight kind that don't have insulation or anything, they weigh a freaking ton. You can't pick this thing up. I mean, you literally, those springs, those are like counterbalances. That's how you're able to get the thing to open. Otherwise, forget about it. It's like 1,000 pounds or something. I mean, it's a ridiculous amount of weight. You can't lift it. Maybe not 1,000, but you get what I'm saying. So that could be $1,600. Maybe something you want to have the seller fix if it's not working, or get a credit so that you can get it fixed. Things like upgrades. Now, I want to distinguish what I've just listed here are things that were faults and problems with the home, and those are examples of things that could come up on your inspection. So this is all about the repairs, what you can expect, and give you some ideas on costs. So this is part A. Come back to part B, because in part B, I'm going to actually go into some of the upgrades and things that you might run into after you've purchased the home that you're going to want to do. And certainly, as you're considering whether you should buy this home or not, you're going to want to consider what's an upgrade, what's not an upgrade, because the seller's not going to pay for upgrades. So you're going to want to think about what some of those costs are going to be, so that in the context of purchasing this home, you can make an informed decision. And I'm going to get back to you on that. So that's in part B of what the things cost. My name's Tim Freund with Dilbeck Estates, Christie's International Real Estate. Thank you so very much for tuning in. I really do appreciate it. Find me on the web. Find me on Facebook, Instagram, ThousandOaksRealEstate.com, TheRealEstateConversation.com. That's probably where you found the podcast. So definitely pass that on to your friends. Tune in. Reach out to me. Come back for part B because we're going to talk about upgrades. Thanks so much, guys. Talk to you soon.